Hello?
Hi, Greg.
Hello, who's this?
Anita, this is, you're now officially in the meeting.
Hello.
Good morning, Greg.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. You just get up, Greg?
Oh, no. We've been out since bright and early. I'm sitting here looking at the Hudson River where Captain Sully's plane went down.
Good.
We are missing, just for your information, Greg, Director Radulovich has not yet arrived, nor Minister Muhammad. Otherwise, all of the members of the committee are here, as well as members of the public, and Directors Ward Allen and Joel Keller are also in the audience today.
Oh, super. Well, I could join you.
So we were just talking about going ahead and starting, even though we're missing a couple of key members of the committee, as Director Sweet noted, and our primary focus today was to try to resolve the model and role of the auditor and the civilian citizen board, with regard to two primary issues, recommendations coming out of an investigation with regard to corrective action, including discipline, and the appeal process for those decisions. At our last meeting, Director Radulovich took a straw poll among the choices that were in front of us, and that caused us to eliminate one option, which is on the document that we all have in front of us and that was sent to us earlier this week.
Just so you know, I have all those documents with me.
Okay. And what is new and added to this is the option one, which is described as the hybrid, and that is the proposal that Reginald Wild described to us at the last meeting, but we now have in writing. So I don't know, Director Sweet, do you want to have Reggie go through this? Or
I would love for Reggie to go.
Isn't that also, though, the combination of the preferences that the went through the straw poll, and that added on to that? I mean, it isn't just, with all due respect to Mr. Lyles, it isn't totally his proposal. It's part of the group process.
I appreciate that character, that description, Reverend Buford. I think that is a much more comprehensive way of describing it. It was, I shouldn't be speaking for, but I think it was an attempt to bridge and combine some of the ideas that this committee has been working on for, low these many meetings.
Sure.
And blend some of each. I quite agree with you.
Yeah, well, if something goes wrong, we don't want all the slings and arrows about Regis Fortune to go toward him, do we?
Thank you.
And on that note, I just have to say that I think it's terrible that this that these proceedings have turned into a tragic comedy with the promotion of the officers who were involved directly in sworn testimony in violating your personnel laws and other laws. And is sworn to that under oath, and it seems like they're being rewarded for bad behavior, and I'm just wondering if these are the people that are doing the training. What are they training people to do if they're on the platform and everybody can see that? And are they going to be training people to do and respond in future situations as those people did, who I think was a training officer even at that time? In the Oscar Grant case. So I'm just concerned that that all of this good work that we're doing here is for naught, is because somebody is thumbing their nose at this particular process and turning it really into a tragic comedy. So I'm just wondering if we're wasting our time when the people who could be subject to criminal prosecution are being promoted. And I think it's just terrible.
I got to answer that. You opened up the door. I thought that door was
closed. Yeah, well, that door should have been closed.
Okay.
If that's the best that your police department can do, that's not a good saying of the rest of the people who have integrity, who have skills, who could have been promoted instead of those two. I mean, why those two after all of the news articles about them in particular and the scrutiny raised on their testimony?
You have your right to your opinion, but it's been 5 months since January 1st, and not one allegation of wrongdoing has been levied against those officers. They have every right to test for those positions.
True.
Okay, I represent those members.
I'm not questioning their right to say anything. I'm just questioning that since they have had that right and they've exercised that right, the substance of that right is that they spoke, and the substance of that speaking was is that they violated certain rules and regulations that we're now trying to sort out 6 months later.
Well, that's your opinion. Right now, I haven't seen anything that they've violated anything right now.
And
neither has Myers Nave.
If I could, Reverend Buford, just try to add a little information, again, without certainly entitled to your opinion, which you've expressed so clearly. The Myers-Nave investigation, which is the process that the board selected to conduct our internal affairs investigation into the actions of each officer who responded to the platform New Year's Eve, New Year's morning, is still underway. At the meeting, at our last meeting last Monday, a question was raised of would the testimony given at the preliminary hearing by those officers be part of the Myers-Nave review, and it will. That review, again, is to look at the very question you're raising of did the officers' actions comport with or violate policies and procedures of the department? Was their behavior in accordance with the standards of the department? And that is the process that we have engaged in. As I said last week, unfortunately, it is taking longer than I would have hoped. We are expecting that to be concluded this month. But until that process is complete, there are no findings regarding the actions of those officers. Special assignment that you refer to, two of the officers involved in Fruitvale were among nine who were selected for that special assignment. It is not a promotion, it's an added assignment, but that assignment will not take effect until the conclusion of the Myers-Nave, until the Myers-Nave internal affairs investigation is concluded. And its recommendations received and responded to. And if there is anything as a result of that investigative process that would be at odds with this assignment, appropriate action will be taken. So just to give you a little bit more of the timeline and the interplay between those two processes, I wanted to provide that information.
Thank you. Yeah, no, well, you got to speak up for your people. But like I say, I mean, that's really what this is all about. And this is what shows the reason why we have to have this process. Because if we had this process in December of last year, we wouldn't be wasting our time with this crap right now. And an investigation that really should have been a slam dunk is now going to take over a year or whatever it takes. So I don't know. I think that we need to go ahead with this. But I'm just feeling as though someone is not respecting this particular process to throw a monkey wrench like this into the public arena. It doesn't inspire confidence in what Bart is trying to do here.
Dorothy?
Yes, Frank.
Can I just say the comment? I just want the Reverend to also know, I know the reason I'm sitting here, and Jesse too, is we want good police work, and we want now good review of all of our personnel as we go forward. And that's one of the reasons Jesse and I volunteered to be a part of this, so that we can put good procedures in place and look at good work as we all go forward. And anyway, and that's it.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm just... what I've been asked to do was to put in writing what I was trying to articulate at our last meeting. And as a matter of history, just to, because people see things differently historically, I'll just quickly say how I felt we were arrived to this point. And it was because the first draft we put together, I supported it and wanted it and felt strongly for it. And when asked, would I stand or sit at the table in front of the community meeting to support it, I said, yes, I will. My comments were that I support it. It's a good draft. We've done good work. And I will sit there. And I did do that. But that proposal was roundly defeated. That's the sense that I got out of the meeting. And I thought that was a sense that I got from others who were sitting at the table with me saying, we got to do more. This is not going to work. This does not establish the confidence that we need. And I think that's one of the critical issues that BART has to understand. It's not a matter of doing merely what is right from your opinion, but what will establish confidence in the people who you're serving. Everybody has a right to take a test, but they shouldn't have been selected because it was poor PR. No two ways about it. And if we keep making these faux pas or mistakes like that, then you're not establishing support, you're weakening it. And look, Ray Charles could see that. So we got to this point with the hybrid because we had three plans on the board, 1, 2, and 3. The third one I thought was the most, gave most of the authority to the community and made the final decision go all the way up to the board. I thought there was a middle ground, and I tried to carve out that middle ground between 2 and 3. However, for the vote at our last meeting, I supported number 3 because I wanted to have the ability to look at some hybrid. Now, this is not a traditional citizen review in the models that we've been trained on. I respect that. And then maybe some of the nomenclatures have to be changed about the naming of the people that are involved. I respect that. However, I just see it as a hybrid in between. And we can name something new. We can do something new. We're trying to tailor this to BART and to the community that BART serves. So we start off with, I took out the word independent auditor and just called it the police auditor. Now, there's some question about the independence of it now, and I can give up that word. But they shall investigate all complaints, and we're using the areas that we stipulated to out of the, help me out, Don, the gentleman that wrote the book that we've been using. We stipulated to that book.
Sam Walker.
So these areas around racial profiling, sexual orientation, sexual harassment, use of deadly force, suspicious and wrongful death, the auditor shall do those investigations. And then once the investigation is done, it makes an independent finding and for corrective action, then in private meeting, not open to the public, the auditor submits his or her investigation finding to the citizen board for concurrence. Now that board, we haven't defined how many members are on the board, but I would like to say here that it has to be a workable number and an odd number so that we can move on an agenda. And then the people who sit on that board have to be well vetted, not ideologues. They have to have the ability to look at the big picture and have shown in their experience in life that they are reasonable, but not ideological only. So I don't want extreme folks on the left or to the right. You know, that would be ideal in my estimation. And then they receive the investigation recommendation from the auditor. Should the auditor make a recommendation and the board concurs with it, in other words, he comes and says, these are the facts, this is what's normal, this is the reasonable discipline that should happen, They concur. It then sent, submitted to the chief of police. The chief of police implements discipline. But should there be a disagreement in the finding, then the board, the citizen board, articulates their disagreement. Now, usually, not in all cases, but usually the disagreement comes around how much discipline. Is it 3 days? Is it 2 days? Is it 1 day? Should they go to training? Should it be just a written reprimand, verbal admonishment, or whatever. If there's some disagreement there, I want it to build in to the process that there's some negotiation. The auditor ought to be able to articulate why the person ought to get 2 days off or 3 days off or 1 day off. We'll use my name, for example. Well, Reggie Lyle's a great officer, but this is the third time he's done thus and so. We warned him before, but this time he deserves 1 day off for this action. The board may say, well, you know, we did warn him before. This is the third time. But we think he deserves 2 days off because this event was egregious, shocking to the public. We want to send a message. We don't want this to ever happen again in our rank and file. So they negotiate. Is it 1 day? Is it 2 days? If they can come to a consensus, fine. An agreement, fine. If they cannot, they submit both documents. The citizen board's opinion and why it should be what it is, and the auditor submits his or her opinion and corrective action, what it should be, to the chief of police, and the chief of police then makes a decision between the two. All right? Now, the chief communicates his decision in private to the citizen board and to the auditor. If the board, by simple majority, is still adamant that their recommendation is best and they disagree with the chief, then it should be submitted, both documents, up to the general manager. General manager receives both documents, investigations, reads it, comes to a conclusion, and then if the board agrees with that, the chief implements discipline. The board does not agree with it and with the general manager, and they articulate why they don't agree with it, then it moves up to the board of directors. The board of directors then receives both documents in private, and then they discuss it, and they make a decision by majority, simple majority of people present. And once they make a decision, that's final. There are no more appeal process. I don't expect this to have a lot of appeals going up to the board of directors. But I can see in a year of time maybe one or two, but not a lot. Most of the decisions ought to be pushed down to its lowest level. And if there is a situation where the board feels adamant that they are right, they should stand by that. And they should stand by it. And the auditor, if he feels he or she is correct, they ought to be able to articulate that on facts and et cetera. Now, then we work out the differences. Now, I understand, I know that it takes a year to investigate these things and implement discipline. And I don't think it would get beyond the 365 days if they're meeting monthly and if they're laying out the cases. I think this will work also because I don't think there's going to be a lot of cases that Bart's going to have to deal with. I do believe that initially there may be an upsurge, an uptick because you got a new process, but it'll level out. I know folks have said in a non-empirical fashion that Bart has more cases than the 12 or 20. But we don't know that. You may feel that, and it may be true, but we don't know it. So I'm thinking 15 to 20 cases a year. And that's it. I don't think that that you have a 200-person department, that you have more than 0.5% of folk who may get in trouble consistently. I said this when I first came on as the consultant, that I felt that Bart had a fine police department. And I said it, and I still say it. But in every agency, regardless of the service in government, you're going to have a percentage of people who know the rules and are not going to obey the rules. We all know that, or we should know it. A system like this will modify behavior. Now, in terms of the rank and file, I respect union. I was a union a president. I was one of the founders of the Black Police Officers Association, Berkeley Police Department. I was its president and its vice president. I understand that. But we are talking about getting beyond this feeling of mistrust. We don't have a police agency if the community mistrusts it. We just don't. And we can feel that we're right, but if we're not perceived as being right, we got a problem. We have to be perceived as being correct and right, and that we want to be right, and that we will not tolerate any behavior that falls short of our general orders or our policies and procedures. And I think this will give it the kind of support from the citizens. So I submit the hybrid. Any questions?
First of all, I want to thank you for synthesizing the ideas that people were kicking around the other day and the suggestion that you had put together at the time. So and your explanation was a good one. Thank you.
I have a question, number three. Can you explain what the appeal to the police chief, what that is about? Can you go through number three and talk a little bit about that?
Okay. The auditor brings the findings to the disagreement to the auditor and the board. If they disagree, we want them to try to work it out. That means maybe the board gives up something, maybe the auditor gives up something, but yeah, work it out. If it cannot be worked out, they fail to come to an agreement, then at that point, the auditor does not have to tear up his document. He says, I'm not back, or he or she says, I'm not backing off of my original opinion and feelings, and I'm submitting my document to the chief intact. Now, then it becomes a responsibility of the citizen board to write what they feel their disagreement with the auditor happens to be. And they should write it and submit that to the chief also. So two documents come to the chief. And at that point, the chief can say, to the auditor, I'm going to agree with them or not. He can say to the citizen board, I'm going to agree with the auditor. And then that's his decision. All of this is done in private. And the notification is done in private. It's incumbent upon the citizen board to accept it. If they have a simple majority that says, let's say 5-4 to go submit their document to the chief, and at that point the chief disagrees with them, they say, okay, we'll accept that. That's the end of it. If not, if they still feel strongly that they want to appeal, they appeal it to the general manager. The process then goes again.
What happens if...
Can I ask the process question?
Lynette first, then you. Greg.
Okay. What happens if the chief disagrees with both the citizens and the auditor?
That was my question.
I think it's a great question, and I would accept that as a friendly amendment. If the chief has a third opinion that he feels is better, then fine. But he has to argue why it has to be. Then it has to go, and then the board has to agree with it. If the board disagrees with what the chief is doing, it goes up to the general manager.
And the reason I saw that, if I can find it, is if number two, the chief has that ability right there from the first his first review of it. He could disagree. In essence, in number two, if he disagrees with both the auditor and the citizen, because it's coming to him right at number two, he can give his own recommendation along with the other one right to the GM. Then it goes down to three, and I was seeing the same thing. In that one, he doesn't have his right to give it to the GM. He only gives it to he only gives either the citizen or the auditor. So I was seeing where that was missing there in number three, where he had it in number two.
Greg, I accept that as a correction,
okay.
As a friendly correction. That was not my intent. I don't want to take the chief out of the decision-making process. I think that what happens is the chief ought to say, this is why I don't like either one of yours, and I'm doing this. And then the board can then say, we don't like what you recommended. And if they have a majority, they can move it up to the general manager and et cetera. Now, every month, a report comes out from the auditor, which keeps a tally and a score on how many disagreements, et cetera. And that way, you can use that as ways of judging the work of the auditor, the board, and the chief. In other words, if the chief has out of 60 recommendations, he never takes the recommendation of the citizen board. We got a pattern there. And maybe something needs to be done. Maybe we need to change the board. I don't know. Or maybe we need to change the chief. But there ought not be, on issues of behavior, when we have a general orders book, there ought not be that much difference between what we do. That's why we write general orders the way we write them. You may do this. You should do this. You shall do this. Those are three different dynamics. And so the issues where we're in violation on the shall stuff, you know, that ought to be pretty much black and white. If we can articulate you were there, you were present, you violated the general orders, this is our opinion. If I could use history, the Berkeley Police Department started off, in my opinion, with a police review committee that was, and as a policeman worked living under it, it was tough. It was draconian. And then it moved and to more of a centrist position, and the police department moved toward it. It was Chief Ron Nelson who gave the order that police officers must be compelled by subpoena power to go and sit in front of the Citizen Review Commission. Citizen Review, at that time, would make their decision sans the officer's testimony, because we didn't go. I happened to be the one at the time, the chairman of the Black Police Officers Association, that agreed with Ron Chief Nelson and said we ought to accept subpoena power, and we did. So. And we moved away from it. Now, and I don't have empirical knowledge on this, but I would venture to say that most people in the Citizen Berkeley have a greater support of their Berkeley Police Department and the process that they work. That's my strong feeling.
Does the Berkeley Commission have say in discipline?
He's here.
No, we don't.
Thank you.
I wanted to find out what you felt about the revision that Reggie wrote, because I actually don't have a problem with it. It kind of brings it two and three together, and if you remember from last week, I was definitely a number three person. So, and you weren't. So, well, you weren't totally. So, I'd like to know how you feel about this one.
So you would like my reaction to this entire piece?
Yes, sir, please.
All right. I think that the appeals processes are multi-layered, somewhat complicated, a little bit murky. I have a problem with, in civilian oversight, referring anything to the police chief for an appeal, giving the police chief the report of the board, giving the police chief the report of the auditor, and saying, okay, Mr. Chief, where do you measure up on this? I have a problem with that. I think the police chief should be all the way out of this whole process, to be honest with you. Thirdly, I before I say anything else, I would just, and maybe this is a process question, I've been involved in a lot of discussions about the creation of civilian oversight agencies in a number of communities for a host of reasons. And in each of those cases, the executive leader of the police department, the police chief, has had some sort of comment or feedback about civilian oversight. And I guess one of the questions I would have is, that has been lacking in this whole process. Mm-hmm. And is there a reason for that? And I would be more concerned to know how the police chief would feel about this process, to be honest with you. I would also like to know if the union people, Jesse and Greg, could stand up in a public meeting and say that they would support, and their union and their members could support this item as it is. And I'm not talking about grammatical stuff or, you know, changing a word or two. I'm talking about the concepts that are printed out here.
Yeah.
And then if, depending on what the police chief says, and whether or not the union folks can say, yes, we support this and we'll stand there, which I think would be ideal, and whatever we come out of this process with, that we can all stand there together, including the police management, police union, citizens, community folks, panel members, and say, hey, this is it. We didn't agree 100% on everything, but here we are. We support this. And, you know, the press picks it up and it goes out to the community, and it tends to work to heal that confidence. Those would be my comments.
So if you were going to tweak what Reggie did, would your tweaking just include moving the police chief piece out of any of the appeals process? And if, by doing that, would it make it any less murky for you?
There's a document that we have here that I thought was going to be number one on the agenda. And it has three different items. It has the hybrid, which I believe is this one that we're talking about.
That's the hybrid. That's,
yes, and that is the hybrid. It has number two, the auditor citizen board. It has number three, the auditor citizen review board. In answer to your question, I would not want to begin tweaking this document.
Because the hybrid. I'm talking about the hybrid.
I'm talking about number one, the hybrid.
Yeah.
I would not want to begin critiquing that because I think it's problematic. There's a number of issues in that. And I don't think the police union would be able to stand up and say they would support it. I think that's problematic. I think that out of all of this, and I thought we were going to discuss this one first, item number two would be the best way to go. And that's the auditor citizen board. That's just my feeling. So I would rather not get into me personally tweaking this, because I think this, it might be workable, but it's definitely going to be a work in progress for a period of time, and I think it's problematic.
Can I say something? As far as oversight, the OA will support it, but I just don't see how the discipline process that became the issue. And, you know, and Mr. Cashman can correct me if I'm wrong. The whole reason the auditor and internal affairs is to come up with the truth is to find out what the truth is. And the auditor is there to make sure that IA they come up with what the truth is. Isn't that the concept of internal affairs and auditing? That's what I believe from talking to from up and down the state. That is what the basis of oversight is, to make sure the police are doing their job correctly, without bias, you know, and coming to what the actual truth of what happened. I do not see how discipline became an issue in making it successful. Discipline is in the role you... Board hires their GM, the GM hires the chief, and those are the people who institute the discipline within the department if any wrongdoing is found. Now, from what I see, it's the big elephant in the room. There's distrust in some of the people that are part of this process, and there's looks like a bypass to go around. I don't agree with that. There's an institutional problem. If that is the case here with this board, that needs to be addressed in a different setting. That's all I got to say. I can't, this, you know, and I'll say a few things. I've done my research. You know, everybody likes the San Francisco model. On May 15th, they were there to give their presentation. Well, on March 21st, before that meeting, Teresa Sparks says their system was broken. It just doesn't work real well the way it's designed, right here in the San Francisco Chronicle. They're actually considering giving back the power to the chief to discipline because their system doesn't work. So I don't understand why this board is going in that direction. So,
Let me make one other comment. I need that in response to Director Sweet's comments. Here's my read on the whole thing. I think that if this committee and the folks that are here that are going to make a decision, if the majority of the folks here feel that the hybrid system is the way to go, and you just want to tweak it a little bit and work with it, then you should do that. You really should. However, I think that you've heard my comments on it. I'm not here to say you should go with one, two, or three. I'm here to tell you, you asked me my preference last time, I gave it to you. I'm not here to say that you shouldn't do this. If you want to do this, I think it's fraught with some issues down the road that are going to cause you some problems. And so it's your decision. And so you have my weigh in on it. You have my professional opinion. And that, I hope, answers your question.
May I have a comment? Another comment, yeah? We have to keep in mind that when we set up this system, or whatever system we set up, we're setting it up in response to an incident.
Mm-hmm.
And every citizen review that's come to, because every city doesn't have it in the state of California. Every city in the Bay Area doesn't have it. And we cannot act as if we're coming in a vacuum. The police review some 30 years ago in Berkeley was created because of an incident or series of incidents. It's various riots and various police behaviors, and it then became the first one in the country. Now, I want to go on record that the first draft that we put forth, I'm for that, which is basically number two. But if you only have to please Reggie Lyles, you don't have a problem. But you have to please more than Reggie Lyles. And the facts are that opinion after opinion coming out of our newspapers are stating, and people are saying, we need more authority because of this issue. Not more authority in all cities in California, BART, because of this issue. Now, I think these things, like I said last week, are evolutionary. I think we need to agree on something and realize that it's going to evolve. And once police officers in the comp behave in a certain fashion, and the perception that they're behaving in a certain fashion with the public, these issues then fall way down. But right now, we have a situation at BART that you can't just say, I don't know why we're doing this about discipline. The reason why we're doing it about discipline is because they don't think any discipline happened. And I'm not arguing right or wrong, because I'm not invested into that. I'm trying to say, how do we get back to where you have support of the BART Police Department? I think Don is correct. Whatever we agree on or come to agree on, we ought to be able to stand together and say, this is what we agree on. That means that all factions come together. You got to give up something. We can't all have our own ideological position and we're not moving. That is not going to work. Status quo on this issue in regards to BART policing and citizen review and disciplinary process, a status quo will not work. The community has said that we do not like it. It's not a matter of personality. Maybe it was 3 or 4 months ago. And I'm saying this to you, Jesse, because it's not a matter of personality. It's a matter of culture. It's a matter of, are you hearing us? Are you going to respond to what we're telling you? And I know police professionals get tired of hearing this, but we do work for the public.
And Reggie, if I may, I think it's clear that none of these options are proposing the status quo. As I see the question, it's in part how many one option which has no direct role other than a monitoring, looking at watching the trends for the citizen board and discipline, and putting all of that responsibility with the auditor in terms of these categories of high, areas we want to particularly focus on, or two different options that define the role for the citizen board in the recommendations as the result of investigations for corrective action, including discipline. Does that go and that appeal process, and where, how many appeals do we want to have on an incident, and how far do they go? One of my concerns about the draft you put forward, just in looking at it, is time frame. You mentioned, I didn't see it in here, 365 days,
year.
Which is an awfully long time. I don't frankly know what is typical, but I don't think our experience has been that it takes a year to impose discipline. So I'd like to see that the consequences of an action come back far closer to the event, as close as possible. Yeah. I, at the start of this meeting, expressed my frustration that one of the prices I think we're paying for objectivity and independence and third-party conducting of our internal affairs investigation of this instance is we're 5 months down the road and the process isn't concluded yet, so there has been no action taken, and the frustration that causes. So I'm concerned that we have an appeal that is first the citizen board disagreeing with the auditor, the citizen board disagreeing with the police, the citizen board disagreeing with the general manager, that we've got four levels of appeal, and
But see, we ought to
overkill. Build. So I think one of the questions is, where is the appeal process?
But I think you have to build. I think the people you select on that citizen board ought to have the wisdom and the political savvy to understand that. And that I could live with it being a simple majority or a supermajority. Okay, before it goes up higher. But the citizens are the one have to have the sense that, look, if they don't agree with the chief, because the chief is not sacrosanct, nor the general manager. No one is absolute on any of these things. If they don't agree with them, is there a way for us to say, you know, we think we're right and you're not, or we're better at this, in this case, this specific incident, than you are, and we say it should be this way. And if it's enough of us to believe that, is that respected? So I don't think that happens often. I didn't plan on it happening on every case. I think it would be rare. And if we want to make it even more rarer, I could live with that. But you cannot say and expect what we're saying here to be acceptable to the people we've been talking to, from what I've been hearing, unless they see that there is light that goes beyond the just the chief makes a decision, just the general manager makes a decision, and the citizens don't have any power at all.
I make a comment. I'd just like to throw this, I need to throw this in. And basically, I just wanted to say, in responding to a couple of points that were made there, most civilian oversight agencies that I'm aware of have come into being because of some crises. I know we've had the situation here at Bart, the tragic situation. But I can recall other communities in Richmond, same situation developed, only people were getting killed, not one person. That doesn't take away anything of what's happened here. I don't mean any disrespect. I understand what I'm saying. But these civilian oversight agencies are created because of crises in community. Okay, that's the first point. Second point is that I think when we talk about a one-year window for discipline, that's like the outside. What you want to do is get these things resolved in order to instill, restore, enhance the public confidence, and do them quickly.
keep people involved, get it done, get it out of there. We shouldn't even be talking about it. Yes, we are.
That's state law.
Let me finish my comments here. The concept of evolution is one that I think we have to be careful of. When BART creates its civilian oversight agency, it shouldn't be creating it with evolution in mind and what it's going to evolve to. I think it's important to get this thing right out of the gate so that as it starts up, it has the best chance for success. It may evolve. It may change. I mean, agencies do that, and that's fine. But I think it's important to give it the best chance for success up front. And then lastly, I asked earlier if the police chief or executive management was going to weigh in on this. Is that going to happen at some point? I mean, it's not happened at all thus far. At some point, will we hear that?
I would love to hear, because it will affect the BART Police Department. So it would be great to know how police management, and not just Greg and Jesse, but our police chief. I mean, we put some real interesting things on the table, and I'm all for what you said earlier, where in order to restore public confidence, there are certain things that we have to take out of the equation when it comes to oversight. And that is, if we're going to have an auditor and we're going to have a review board, do we need to have the general manager and the chief weighing in on it, or are they the ultimate arbitrators on everything? So I heard what you said, and I'd love to hear what the chief has to say about that. And I know he's here, so.
If either of you have anything you'd like to say now or later, let us know. It's a great question. And,
I'm prepared to answer.
Okay,
please.
Well, first of all, I appreciate Mr. Casimir listening my input on this issue, and I want to do whatever's best for the department and the organization. And to that end, I've spoken with members of my command staff. I meet with President BPOA on a regular basis. Whoever wants to walk by my door and give me his or her 2 cents worth on, you know, how we can fix the situation, make the department and a better place, restore trust and confidence in the community we serve, I want to do whatever is best there. In reviewing the models that have been brought forth and in talking to others who have worked under these models and directly, including fellow police chiefs, and even those who don't, and if it were imposed upon them, which would they prefer? And I believe that the police auditor model would be the best suited for this department, in part because of the volume of complaints that we get. And you know, maybe 15 or 20 is, would not be an accurate figure on an annual basis. Once this system is implemented, we'll probably see a spike in the number of complaints. But as far as the ones that have come in over the years, that's kind of been the average. And you know, and if there are disbelievers who feel that a lot of them aren't being reported by or recorded by the police department, then we're not seeing it in the number of people who are coming forward saying, hey, I complained about excessive force or unprofessional conduct from a BART police officer. Nothing was ever done about it. But I would prefer to see a model where the police internal affairs investigation, the auditor's independent investigation run parallel. We reach our respective conclusions, and both the auditor and the police chief have the reports of the other side available to enable me to make a decision as to what's best for the department. You know, assuming that a complaint has been sustained, I want to be able to implement whatever corrective action, whether it's training, discipline, a combination of the above, that's going to ensure that the subject officer gets the message that such behavior is unacceptable, will not be tolerated, and if it means discipline, including termination, as my staff knows, I won't hesitate to do that. You know, and while personnel issues are not disseminated openly to the department, to the rest of the to the board and to the public, the word does get out. And so I want to do whatever is best. And so from what I've seen, and I've done some studying on it as well since January 1st, I would prefer the police audit model.
Well,
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The police auditor model actually is what we're working on. So I guess what I was trying to get from you, we were trying to come to a consensus on what would the actual role of the auditor slash investigator be in working with your department. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to look through the drafts that we've come up with, but we've been working through those numbers 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. 1 being the least restrictive, 3 being probably the strictest that we could come up with. And in our straw poll last week, it was a leaning toward the strictest model. It went 5-3 mm-hmm. with the citizens. No, it's 5-3.
5-4.
Give me 4. I know my 3. It was you, it was Greg, and it was Dorothy. And where's your 4?
Mr. Cashman.
No, he didn't. He opted out, remember?
I told you my preference.
Yeah, I told you your preference.
You have my preference.
Right.
Well,
so I would agree that it would be more like 5-4.
Okay, well, then I'll go with 5-4. Bottom line is, if we're still talking simple majority, the simple majority wanted something that was a little bit stricter. So I'm trying to get a feel from you. It wouldn't just be an auditor. It would be a citizens review board working alongside an auditor. What would you see their role actually being?
Well, never having, I mean, I tried to envision, and I know what you're describing. I mean, I listened to the member of the Berkeley Police Review Commission, that the fact that the commission itself does not recommend discipline, this would perhaps engage the Citizen Advisory Board to be a part of recommendation for discipline. In all respect, I would question the ability of civilians to, without knowing the institutional history of a department, an officer's personnel file, specifics to a certain allegation, if it would be fair to the subject officer and to the department if the advisory panel were to be engaged in input as to discipline in any case. So I would hope that the auditor's investigation, the police investigation, looking at conclusions by each would enable me to come up with the discipline that I feel would be most appropriate. With this new model, with this new system, once implemented, I would confer with the general manager on discipline, something that in the past, you know, is not done, has not been done, not just in our organization, but I believe throughout municipal law enforcement as well. The police chief makes a decision on disciplinary matters and stands behind it, whatever outcome results from it, and then he and his boss have to deal with it afterwards. I have a very good relationship with my boss, the general manager, and once this system is implemented, I would confer with her before coming out with discipline. And I believe that should be the only person with whom I should be discussing potential discipline and corrective action.
So even with the auditor who would be making the recommendations, you would feel that that person too shouldn't be making disciplinary recommendations?
I would take input from the auditor, because the auditor would be someone who's very skilled at conducting the investigation, would have a background on the officer, would basically have as much information as the IA investigator in conducting his or her separate investigation.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I would accept any input from the auditor with a recommendation toward discipline before making the final decision.
So that piece would be okay, having the auditor slash investigator making the recommendation, but not the citizens review panel.
And for the reasons I stated, yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I had that straight.
Can I chime in, and if Grusa or Chief can I ask a question of the chief? And even in the draft, chief, on for the current draft number 2, the auditor slash citizen board. I know you mentioned there that you would you envision you would consult with your boss about all under the model you would like for all discipline matters. But I believe even the group itself, the panel, is leaving last week is pretty much unanimous that number 2 would at least be palatable to everyone, because nobody wanted number 1. And even in number 2, item number 3, the process would be only you would appeal to the general manager. You wouldn't. I don't envision you would be discussing personnel matters with the general manager. It would be if you have a different discipline idea or a suggestion for discipline with something brought before you, your discipline recommendation and the one from the independent auditor would jointly go to the general manager for final resolution under draft two, not where you would discuss it beforehand about what you think is discipline. It would whatever you reach, the general manager would in draft two would sit as the final arbiter, kind of like a one-man jury. Okay, bring me both at the same time. Let me hear both cases. I'll reach a final verdict. If I explain that properly.
Yeah, I hear you, Greg. But in saying that I would confer with the general manager prior to making, say, an official announcement of the discipline that or corrective action that I would be implementing, it's just a means of conveying that the level of communication that I do have with my boss, and if the model itself were to exclude the general manager from the initial decision on discipline that would be made through my office, then I would respect that. But the word's going to get out. I mean, once discipline has been decided and imposed, if you will, on a subject officer, then up until including any arbitration, the word does get out. And I was only saying that I would just be inclined to communicate what my decision would be to the general manager, so that she's not in the dark, if you will.
Greg, were you done?
Yes.
Thanks.
Well, I this is no reflection on you, Chief, but I just want two things. The issue about 365 days, if I'm not mistaken, that's the law saying personnel complaints have to be completed by then. I wasn't implying that we should do it so I want to be clear about that. And secondly, I really don't see any problem with talking about personnel matters with the general manager. I would hope that you are doing that. And modern law enforcement does not set up a chief of police to be the sole imperial fiat of decision making. Just doesn't work like that anymore. And if the assumption is that's how it should work, maybe the culture here is speaking more than what is most the best practice. I think the chief ought to get advice from his superiors within the chain of command on these issues. There ought to be a meeting every month or week talking about personnel issues. So the officer shouldn't think, rank and file, that our chief is making the sole decision and ought not be talking to anybody about it because they're not in uniform. No, that's not modern law enforcement. It is not modern law enforcement.
Unless I were sheriff, and then that's not modern law enforcement.
And the sheriffs that act like that, we wouldn't want to be like them. Generally, down in Louisiana and Alabama, Mississippi, and we don't need to be those kind of guys.
Hey, Louisiana's okay.
Can I ask Don one more question? Mr. Casimir, when you were speaking earlier and you were talking about what you were looking at, and you were talking about how discipline ought to be done and who should be in that chain, you were kind of walking through it, and I thought I heard you say that that's where the chief should be taken out, that process shouldn't include them at all.
No. The way I read that,
okay.
And I mentioned that it was somewhat murky for me, so maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my brain couldn't wrap itself around that. But the way I read that was that at some point in that process, there would be an appeal made by both the Citizens Board and the investigator to the police chief. That's what I read.
Mm-hmm.
And the police chief would make the final decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the police chief should not be involved as an appellate individual.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to make sure I understood.